In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, and Mel and Mika. Yes, two new names. You're going to want to hear what they've got to say. What does it look like to go when God says go? Come on, people. This is all about obedience. See you very soon. Hello, loyal listeners, and a warm welcome to you and to our newcomers. It's another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. Now, my friends, two new faces in the studio with me. We call them the M&Ms because both their names begin with M, shorthand, because they have become firm favorites in our office. And they're going to tell you the story of how God got them here. And when God says go, what do you need to know? How obedient do you need to be? Please be upstanding, put your hands together wherever you are listening around the world for the M&Ms. They are Mika and Mel. Hey. Now give us your full surnames, ladies.
Micaela de Souza.
Which is a name from?
Brazil.
Brazil, but we just call you Mika.
Yes.
And, or M.
And mine's Melina O'Donnell.
See, that's such an Irish surname, Melina O'Donnell.
Very. That's my dad's half of the family.
Ah, the fiery warrior.
Yeah, and then the other half is all Italian, so.
Oh my goodness, fiery Irish warrior lovers.
Yes, exactly.
This is it.
And then American in the middle.
And yeah, so where do you currently live in Glasgow with us.
Yes.
But tell us a little bit, Mel and Mika, about your story.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've been friends for 10 years now. We used to work together and that's how we became friends. And it was founded on God needing an actual, true, genuine friendship. Well, fast forward to 4 years ago, the Lord said, go. And the scripture he gave me was, go into the land, which I will show you. And so we started packing up our things. We didn't know what that looked like. We were still in a contract, in a rental.
Where were you living contract at this point?
Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. In America?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, though.
But is that where you were born and raised?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Semi.
Tell me more.
Born in Pittsburgh, mostly raised in Pittsburgh, but I went to Brazil when I was 6 months old till I was four, so also Brazil.
Okay.
Yeah.
So multi-languages in there, multiple nations, a call of God on your life. Mm-hmm. You meet each other working, and God says to you 4 years ago, go, and you have no idea what that means.
He did some preparation in that, though, because in the interim of that, obviously 4 years doesn't equal 10 of friendship. In the period prior to that, it was in the midst of where we were, but there was so much stuckness in the area that we were that it was like to go somewhere was rough. So he did so much preparation of even just travel. Like it would be like, oh, let's go for a concert in Chicago, a couple hours away. And it would be tough to leave that area to then moving to Lancaster a few years later.
I mean, I'll tell you where I met these, the M&Ms and Mel and Mika. My memory of you is from about, I think, maybe February this year. And I'm over in America with New John
Jersey.
Sweeney,
New
one
Jersey.
Of our, in New Jersey. Thank you for helping me out with my geography. You saw me struggling. I had the person, but not the place. And you are then just serving, helping. You're behind a desk somewhere. Suzanne, my assistant, is with me. You're selling my books. I'm like, who are those two who are being so spectacularly helpful? And Suzanne tells me your names and I'm like, that's very kind of them, very lovely. Isn't it lovely to have people with a servant heart and bless them and thank you. And then we get in an airplane, Suzanne and I, and we fly to
Pittsburgh,
where you're from. Mm-hmm. You drive there and there you are again. And then you're selling books and helping out. In fact, I think Ally McFarlane drops her iPad, smashes it. You jump up. I'm like, there's those two girls again being helpful. And then I turn up in Quebec. And then I think these two girls have stalking tendencies. And you turn up with my books. And Suzanne says to me, oh, no, they drove your books up there to sell them. I'm like, this is fascinating. So then I feel guilty because I don't know your names. And I feel like you're serving, but I've not had a proper opportunity to go, thank you. This is now three places of stalking serving. And so I think I say to Suzanne, Give them a free ticket to the conference and find them accommodation. And can we bless them because they've blessed us? And can we just note that they're lovely? And so you turn up to Glasgow when? September?
September.
How many weeks ago was that?
A month ago.
Yeah. A month ago. Mm-hmm. And you turn up and we're supposed to be blessing you by giving you accommodation and a conference ticket. And then one of my trustees says, keep those two. Whatever you do, keep those two. They're volunteers worth their weight in gold. Do whatever you can do to make them stay. And when your trustee says that, she also happens to be my best buddy from childhood, I'm like, right, let's learn some names and stop calling them the M&Ms. And but that's all I know. And suddenly you're in my building every day. The staff love you. You're serving. It's a God holy hijack. I'm grateful. The staff are grateful. But the background story is, how on earth did you get here?
A holy hijack is a good sentence for that.
Yeah.
That's been our life.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back to 4 years. God says go.
Yeah. So he says, go. We pack up our stuff, like probably 6 months before we actually move. And then he starts unfolding the picture as he always does, right? Mm-hmm. And at this point, we think, okay, that's a location move to Georgia where our friend is starting up a church. And we're like, okay, we've been traveling at this point with a ministry. So that's nothing out of the ordinary. We've been to this location multiple times. That's great. That was just the first step of that move. And then you take that step and then he has another step mm-hmm. and it's not what you think. So I've learned in the midst, don't elaborate on his go.
Ooh, there's a learn.
Yeah.
Just go with what he says because then disappointment comes in, hurt comes in, and then you're second guessing yourself. Did I hear the Lord? And that's what gets thrown at you. Like, did you actually hear the Lord? Is that what he said to you? Because I don't see it turning out either the way you might have pitched it or either the way I would expect it to be. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a lot of people around us doing the same thing so that we could say, well, I mean, it's been done. So that's how the Lord works.
So you literally had Abraham, God says go.
To then, as soon as we would go, it was drop everything that you think you went for. I think it's interesting that the Lord will use kind of your small thinking to get you to go. When your heart is like, I'm going to go, and kind of hitting into the scripture of that trust in the Lord that we were talking about today, where you go, okay, I'm trusting, but you're really leaning on your own understanding a little bit.
Well, so just for context, we were having a staff meeting this morning, which now Mel and Mika are part of, and even though you're not actually staff, but, you know, God sends who he sends. Mm-hmm. And we were in the Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And the conversation with the staff team went, well, we do actually know what it is to trust in the Lord. I think many of us, including you listening, how big is your yes? It's huge. How many times have you said yes to God? A massive amount of time. I mean, pat yourself on the back. Well done. But let's jump into the second part of that scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That our trust might be high, our yes might be huge, but then we construct things with our own understanding on the back of an initial trust. Sounds to me like the Lord had you in Nahum 1, where he threw you into a whirlwind.
At all times.
Yes.
And it's been 4 years of literally like place to place where he would send. He would give us a place that we're going. We'd know the location on automatically, majority of the time, or the assignment automatically. Like, okay, a friend needs help with a church plant. We're going to go and we'll be hands. We'd go.
Wow.
And then what he would do everywhere we went, which we in our mind, again, small thinking, would think, oh, we put these other things that the Lord has put inside of us, like dreams and things, on the back burner. But really, he was developing it because everywhere we'd go, it would be, we'd end up coming alongside someone in a transition, in a building up, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then there'd be this group of people that then he's like, you need to have fellowship with them and you need to sit with them around a table.
Yeah.
You need to do basic icebreakers. And have real communication. And he did that prior to even sending us on this go. Mm-hmm. And so that preparation has been everywhere we've gone. And what happens is once that community is kind of close-knit, he'll go, okay, now it's time for you guys to leave. And then it's another location. And it happens again. And it just has become a pattern everywhere we go, which I believe is kind of the kindness of the Lord because it gives you a...
Yeah.
okay, I left them with the security of the Lord in the midst, but it is heart-wrenching for yourself of like, okay, a whole new people.
Oh, it's a lot, place. Isn't it?
Yeah.
But he's been so gracious too to keep us together. In
so at least you got one buddy along for the... Mika, what has it felt like to live multiple locations so light?
It's been very difficult because what you think you need, you don't actually need. But you have to let all that go, go into a new space and make it your own. And not just make it your own, but what does that look like with your time with the Lord when you're in someone else's home? Because we haven't had a home in these 4 years. I've been with family multiple times. So we've been in my dad's or my mom's or something like that. But it's still not your own location. You don't necessarily have your own space. How do you cultivate your relationship with the Lord in the midst of that?
Mm-hmm.
It has been very difficult, but I will say that it has gotten easier as we go.
To be light and flexible.
Yeah.
Because the more you go, you shed more things.
So tell me, Mel and Mika, what's the big learn about what you need and what you don't need? Because we're so full of, I would say, frou-frou stuff, comforts, habits, from little things like, right, where have I set my hot water bottle when it gets winter and I'm cold too? Where's that plug-in blanket because now it's autumn? Where are my winter shoes versus where are my summer shoes? We all have those rhythms and patterns and familiar habits and suddenly it's all gone. Maybe you're living that right now, loyal listeners, the sense of like my familiarity is being really pushed. What have you learned you need?
I think the main thing I've learned is, well, first and foremost, of course, God. That may seem like an easy answer, but at the same time, no, you need to be firm in that because no matter what, okay, I need to check myself. Am I hearing from the Lord correctly? Is this what you want me to do, Lord? What do I need to learn from this past season that I've just lost? All those things. And second, I think that you need to build a community around you because the hardest part of the journey has been times where you find yourself alone.
Okay.
We have each other, but we're also going through the same journey. So it's very easy for us to think similarly.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to, you know, the importance is being around other people who can also build you up, who can also encourage you, and you can also pour into. Because if not, you're just sitting there and you'll get drowned in thoughts or doubts and all that. You just need to be around a community, whatever that looks like to you. And if you don't have one, you kind of have to build that.
See, there's the point, isn't it? Because many people write into our channels and comment about their isolation and their loneliness. And the comment I hear perhaps most frequently is, there is no. And then the sentence usually goes, spirit-filled community. Mm-hmm. There is no person who really sharpens me in my dynamic. There is no place that I can really feel like I belong. And yet God has almost willfully moved you, and the training in I can grow a community no matter where I am put.
Yes. I would even say even different churches that I've participated in, because the move has been here and there, I can't really get rooted deeply into a specific church body or whatever. But in that, I'm still a part of the kingdom of God, whether I'm a member of this church or not. So I Absolutely. Have something to bring here. What, as simple as let me sell books, as simple as how can we help you at certain events? What can we do?
Yeah.
There's something that all of us have to offer. You just have to make that available. You don't necessarily have to wait for that. I'm not saying that you just go and overtake people's churches, but you make yourself available. Hey, you guys have an event this weekend. If you guys need help with this, we can do this. But hey, I can see that you guys have a community of youth that really wants to grow in the Lord. If you're willing, I can throw something together at my dad's house and we can get together and we can do some fellowshipping and watching them grow. You all have something to offer, so just take the step.
I think there's some intentionality too of asking the Lord, who am I to be in relationship with in the place that I'm in?
Mm-hmm.
So it might not be that they're your deep, deep, deep connection, like you're your inner circle. But in that time, they might be one that you need to sit with and have a cup of coffee with like every single week. And you cultivate that in a way that then it creates relational wellness, not only for that person, but it creates it for you.
Back for you.
And you get pulled up in the Lord in a way and a strength because you're in a togetherness.
Yes, I think what has impressed me about watching your attitude here, it's that proactivity of I will run towards a community, a relationship, a serving, a giving. And most of us have lost that art and we wait to be invited in quite a formal way. And most relationships that really work and most communities that really work are not formal. They are that organic, I just turn up, I just show up. Mm. And you have modeled that quite impressively. I don't know whether you were aware that you were doing that, but it's a learn for all of us who go, they just showed up and they just put themselves in a humble serving place and it was utterly compelling. Mm. And then it forms community very fast.
Amen.
So tell me, you were in Pittsburgh. I know I mispronounce it continually. You go down to Georgia four years ago. Then
we go to Florida about 2 months after that.
Oh my! So you help a friend plant a church. Mm-hmm. Then the Lord says Florida. Mm-hmm. What do you do there?
I cried. No. I think that was Atlanta was the Lord being gracious on me because Florida was the one place I was like, no, I know my God. He would never send me to Florida. I did not like Florida. And the Lord said,
that's she would like, try to pull people out of Florida. All her family would be like, no, so that's we got to pray that off of you.
That's like your Nineveh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So for other people, it's their destination of choice. For you, it's Nineveh.
It's too hot.
Yeah, no, I there's a lot. But bless Florida. It's been gracious to me. I think he said, okay, I'm going to give you Atlanta first because that's easier for you and I'll get your yes there. And even the first day I got to Atlanta, I started crying because, again, I didn't know what that looked like. I thought like he was going to open the door, an apartment was going to come, a job was going to come. Everything was going to go perfectly because why wouldn't it, right? No. As soon as
we pause there? Because is that not the case? I have given you my yes. Mm-hmm. I have moved. God, you make it jolly well lovely. Mm-hmm. And God says, no.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a big learn too, because that was like the mistake that was made over and over, I would say on my half.
Okay.
Where it literally again goes back to the Proverbs 3, where you're leaning on your own understanding. Okay, I'm taking the step of obedience.
Yes.
Now I'm going to get a job that's going to pay all my bills.
Yes.
I'm going to have everything like just tradition in your mind of like X, Y, and Z is going to be covered because the Lord said this. And really, it's usually the complete opposite.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, Florida, you cry.
I cried before Florida, but yes, definitely cried for Florida. But he was already preparing us because he took us there a couple of times. And I remember someone bringing it to my attention, like, I think the Lord is telling you to move to Florida. And it was like in the movies where you sink back in and I'm like, and you're replaying like all the things. You're like, oh, no, I think that's true. I said yes to Florida again, thinking, okay, maybe Atlanta was just a little step to this one. He just needed my yes to Florida.
Yeah.
Place didn't come. The finances didn't come.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, again, you're trying to go into your comfort, too. Okay, if I have my own place, this is going to be easier to do the work that the Lord has for me here, let alone do you know that actually the house that you're staying with is your work. And if you would read, really, your Bible, you would understand that that's how Paul was taking places. Or the disciples. And you go into these homes and you go, literally sitting on the floor crying, going, Lord, like, why the heck am I here?
And did you have people that you actually didn't like?
Times.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, times.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We don't know when. We don't need to
go into the details.
No, I don't need to know. Yeah. No, let's not name names.
But
you can't have chemistry with everybody. I mean, you just can't.
But that is actually a big, I would say, learn out of all of it, too, is you learn to get rid of your comfort. But you also learn to be adaptable with other human beings and learn where they're at with the Lord. And then you watch this beautiful thing that happens that comes from you having tears in one end, them probably screaming in another end, where you're invading their space. Yeah. And then you watch how the Lord invades the entire thing and creates this beautiful, beautiful thing in the midst.
This really is, and the Son of God had no place to lay his head type territory, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then I'm almost scared to ask where I was next.
We had a fun one in the middle because we kind of, so from Florida, we lived between Florida and Pittsburgh because all of our belongings are still in Pittsburgh in a storage for 4 years. Our animals that we shared because we lived together prior. And actually prior to that, the Lord would send people to live with us. So we swapped places.
You have animals?
Yeah.
I dread to ask what sort. Oh, what?
We don't want to tell you. Yeah, no, it's just cats.
Okay, cats.
You just said you don't want to tell her and you told her.
Cats. Cats.
Yeah, just cats. But in that too, we'd go in between because it would be like whatever different things that the Lord had. And then we got to live in Brazil for a few months. And that,
which is part of your childhood story, Mika.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it happy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a convincing yes.
No, it is happy. And he did some really, like, okay, I thought I was going on vacation. I'm going to visit my family. I haven't been able to visit my, I think it was like 12 years I hadn't gone to Brazil and visit my grandparents. And my grandma's one of my favorite human beings. So I was so excited to go. And I had a wonderful time. But I also, it was work. I realized that when the go happened, everything is work. Pretty much.
Wow.
So I got to see my grandmother be healed. I got to see some friends that these are high school friends that we haven't seen each other or spoken to each other in years. But I got to baptize a friend. We got to talk about like deliverance and healing and all these things that the Lord just orchestrated. And it was actually the first place that we were invited to preach was in Brazil. Wow. So he just opens the doors and you just, again, have to be willing to accept it. Fearfully at times because I have no idea what I'm doing half the time, but I take the step and he shows up and it's better next time than it was the first time. And
it's funny, isn't it? Because most of us would love to be able to be that fluid and flexible with the Lord. And so you press buttons and the way we cope with it as those who maybe are pinned to a geography is we will look at your life and say, oh, it's irresponsible. And yet actually what it truly is just obedient. And God gives people like you guys, Mel and Mika, to the body of Christ to show that sense of the river of God and the jumping in it and the going with the tidal wave of God, which sometimes when it hits an oxbow bend in the river, from all of you who studied your fluvial systems and geography, you know that sometimes you ricochet off banks on occasions to be able to turn the bend and go with the river, and how much we must all learn the lesson of that level of yes and that level of fluidity with the Lord and that level of leaning not on our own understanding and that level of being dispossessed from earthly possessions on occasions.
Yeah. But it's hard.
Yeah.
I don't want to pretend that it's not. And there's been a lot of questioning and doubting and all that. But it scripture starts becoming alive when you're reading something and you say, oh, that was just for the past. He sent the disciples two by two. But then you're like, oh, wait a second. I'm actually living how Paul lived. I'm actually living how the disciples lived. It's mind-blowing, but it is difficult. I'm not going to pretend it isn't, but it is worth it because every single time you learn a facet of God that you didn't learn previously.
In a previous place.
Yeah.
It does give you a bit of a, the word I would use is like indignation in your frame for those that are stuck.
Oh, go there.
In that same piece. So like, we would get hit constantly on a level of curse after curse after curse spoken over us.
Why?
Because we were going with how the Lord told us to go.
You were so free.
And they didn't like that. It went against their tradition.
Yeah.
So the portion, but coming to the understanding of that is tough when you don't have people giving an example of that. And I think that was the hardest piece for me and still sometimes is of the aspect of you would lose even people in your community to you're not hearing the Lord. And I had quote unquote dream on this thing give you it as a prophetic word that needs to go into a dumpster. Like it because literally because
all
it
would those.
Be,
yes.
Right. Because it would be like, I want to hold you here and you're doing something wrong. It's like, no, actually you're not even close to your fullness. You're sitting in a place where you're on a performance every week and you have so much more to give and you go, come on. Like you want to pull them along
into freedom and liberty and movement.
Correct.
And the lightness.
And you're like, you just watch people be so stuck and you can do so much. And then you realize when you bring that liberation in, how much it like makes people squirm.
Yeah. 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 Freedom does. So I'm keeping track. Pittsburgh, Georgia, Florida, Brazil. Then
we're back in Florida.
Oh, Mika, your favorite.
Yeah.
We're back in between the two. And then the Lord finishes Florida. And that was the first time I really understood the portion where you sit in a period of time in a place and you've developed so much that that scripture that Paul says where he goes, I long to be with you, but I literally cannot.
Yeah.
For weeks. And I would just weep and go, I don't understand because I'm ready to go where you need me to go, Lord. But you know your insides are not. And then we were back in Pittsburgh for literally 3 months and then we ended up here.
Oh, my days. Mm-hmm. Are we? We might be nearly hitting your longest place. 5 weeks?
No, Florida's definitely our longest place.
Yeah. And Pittsburgh, of course.
And Pittsburgh, yeah.
Wow. So after all of that moving, 4 years of moving, the kind of lock my stuff away, just jump into the river of God and go where he goes, live as, because you're prophets, both of you prophesy and done Raising Prophets programs with us. So, I mean, I should have seen you before New Jersey. Did I see you before New Jersey, but just hadn't clocked in the sea of faces that sit in front of my world. So give me grace for that. But the signpost as living a prophet life, where it's not always a comfortable thing to, but you must tell a story with your life. So help out our viewers who are knowing that they're contained, knowing that they're trapped, maybe knowing that they're stuck, don't feel the liberty. Perhaps they have a spouse and children, which you ladies at this point don't yet have, yet call it into being, Jesus. We agree with you for that, for the desires of your hearts. So what are your top tips on how should we therefore live?
The first thing that I would recommend is do the last thing the Lord told you to do, as little, not little, but as small as have people over for dinner, start a women's group, start a Facebook group, whatever it is, start with that, because every step of obedience that you take, you go, oh, he shows up. Oh, he does something in it. Start there. If the Lord says something bigger than that.
So you're really pushing into the parable of the talents. I've actually found this quite a lot with people who want to come into full-time ministry. And yet they are actually perhaps being irresponsible about the well-being of their children. Do the right thing with what God has given you. If that's raising your children, if that's, you know, earning a living for your children, do the parable of the talents thing with what's right in front of you, with what God has already given you. And then you get added to by the obedience with doing what the last thing the Lord has said to you. And then God, when he sees that you're trustworthy in a go, when he sees you're trustworthy with an obedience, he adds to it. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mel. I think another big one is stop comparing yourself.
Oh, very good.
And know and trust that you hear the voice of the Lord.
That God actually lives in you. Don't double check it.
Right. And that like you were created how he created you, not for me to be you or for her to be me. Because when you get into that comparison level,
yes,
in anything, whether you're literally just a student or whoever, you're looking to be something that you're not created to be.
I'm fascinated by the double checking that Gideon does with his fleece. And many of us have laid out fleeces, but my heartbreak in that is Gideon's fleece of I need a confirmation word is actually a story of God's kindness in Gideon's disobedience. God had clearly told him some things to do, and he's double and he's triple checking. So God says it, he double checks it, he triple checks it, and God was gracious. But there's not a, the fleece story is not a, is not a story of obedience. It's a story of a gracious God in disobedience, when actually what was Gideon expecting? He was double checking it with the God who'd already said it.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So the parable of the talents is really your lesson, Mika. The not in endless checking, Mel, is your lesson. Mm-hmm. That sense of the suddenlies of obedience. Yeah. The first time you hear God say it, you action it, and the investment in doing what God has told you to do so that you can do it in season and not out of season.
Right, yeah.
Yes, there's lessons for all of us here. Any other learns?
I have one big one.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of mistakes.
Wow.
Don't be afraid of getting it wrong, because my God will work all things for good. So if I made a mistake or if I got it wrong, I'm going to learn something in that season. I'm going to get something out of that season to bring me into my next season. But sometimes we are so struck by fear that we are too afraid of obedience. Mm-hmm. So just don't be afraid of getting it wrong.
What's the worst that could happen type thing? Literally, exactly. What's the worst? Have a go and what's the worst that can happen? Talk to me about your main spiritual gifts and actually some of your main talents, because I think it's very useful for our listeners. You're not just the eternal kind of like teenagers, because actually one of you, Mel, you're in your late 20s. Mika, you're in your late 30s. Mm-hmm. You're women with considerable developed skills. It's useful to hear some of what your skill sets are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Management is one, but a spiritual gift, like counseling.
Yeah.
I'm good with counseling, and the Lord has just always allowed me to have these conversations with people, and people open up to me and I'm able to give them a word of the Lord, which I didn't even know that's what it was before.
But actually, you there's technical skills here.
Yeah.
There's podcasting skills here. Hit me with all of that.
A big one, I would think, between both of us, actually, is like the community piece and the conversational, like, let's go deeper than a surface level, because that's actually even how we became friends. Mm-hmm. We didn't want any more surface level. We wanted someone that would be a friend the way we were a friend. And I found that that is the strand that follows me through my life, even to the back ends of, like, when I was a kid, I didn't really get along with the kids my age.
Yeah.
Because their sentences didn't have structure.
Oh.
It didn't have substance to, let's go deep. Who are you and why are you who you are?
I was going to say, that's how Lighten the Load became a podcast, is it went from what we did at tables at our homes and in different locations to, okay, so let's expand this to reach some people. Let's sit, let's ask some silly questions, let's ask some deeper questions, and let's talk about some of the things, because again, we didn't have that when we were doing this. So I'm thankful to people like GPA that I can listen to and I can say, oh, I'm not the only one. I didn't make this up. This is in scripture.
Yeah.
Read your Bible being the first lesson there. But
yeah.
So that's what Lighten the Load became a part of. Let's talk about this. Let's ask some questions. Mm-hmm. Let's ask some silly ones. Let's get to know each other. Let's make you think about something. Mm-hmm. Let's make you look into scripture about something that maybe you didn't think of before. And so let's put our life somewhere, because again, we're location to location. So let's put that out there so someone can, hey, I'm going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Because what we found is randomly people would message us and go, oh, I was able to move and do what the Lord told me to do because I heard about your life.
Because that somebody had modeled it and made a way in the earth.
Yeah.
I tell you a story. You remind me of somebody who came to our ministry whose name we don't actually really know. And this is really hilariously strange and wonderful. So a gentleman, tall, I think his accent was American, and flew, this is how the story goes, to a London airport. That was all God said. Go to London. And actually, I think I've given him the name ultimately of a train station within London. He sat on a bench on the platform, I think for 2 days, until the Lord gave him the next instruction. And somebody sat beside him, unknown to us, and said, I think you have a call to Glasgow, and there's a group of prophets there that you need to go and hang out with. This gentleman, who I always called him Moses. I don't know why. He just looked like Moses. It's the only name we knew him by, because I called him Moses, literally walked in through our doors with nothing. And for reasons unbeknownst to me, as Moses appears, I say to him, sure, why don't you join my team? I'm about to start prophesying. Let's see if you can prophesy. When do you ever do that to a stranger? That's like breaking all my ministry protocols. Moses walks through the door, sits beside me. I have a client and prophesies like a ninja. I mean, the word of knowledge gift, the anointing, the speaking in tongues. I'm like, who are you? At that point, I'm like, he's an angel. He's an angel. He's an angel. He's so tall and it's so cold and he doesn't have any clothes that David and I are ferreting around to find him trousers long enough. We give him David's father's coat, which is far too short in his arms. Somehow we find him a bicycle for riding around the city. We give him gloves that clearly don't fit him. We give him some money. We find him somewhere to stay. And for months, this Moses is couch surfing and serving our ministry and prophesying and delivering people and blessing us and eating all our food, the most remarkably ridiculous appetite, because he must have had hollow legs. I have no idea how long he stayed with us. It was a few months. And we sort of laugh, and then he disappeared. Like literally disappeared.
He didn't even say goodbye.
No, like he just like literally left. And we laugh about it now in the, surely we should maybe have done some more due diligence. And did we forget all our safeguarding issues? But no, he was very safe. And my memory of it was like buying him shampoo and like just loving him. And but there was a tenderness to him and there was a godliness to him. Mm. And I don't know who he is or was. I'm sure I'll find out in the heavenlies one day at the return of Christ who he is. But we talk about him a lot. Mm. It was years ago. We talk about him a lot. We talk about a man who came on the call of God and changed all our lives by that fluidity of approach. Who just blessed us and served and made us laugh and prophesied and gave, and to live like that amazed us all. And the sense of imprinting on a community who want to be that free, who want their yes to look like something. And here we are, you're now the M&Ms. We've put your name on our check-in board as staff. We've given you a colour of M&M each. Yeah. Which colour have you got each?
I'm red.
And I'm yellow.
I don't even know whether that's insulting. I hope not. It's a term of endearment.
It's not like the first M&M. Time we've got an M&M.
Is it not? Okay. And the same with Moses, who appeared and disappeared from wherever he came. And we never quite got his story. I think it was mysterious. For a purpose, but you're doing the same thing, Moses and the M&Ms, all of the M's, and the sense of the story of the God who reminds us in communities and in podcasts like this, how light can you be? How free can you be? How mobile can you be? How big is your yes, really? What really matters? And to communities like ours who find it easy to embrace and will not find it easy to let you go whenever God does says it. Why? Because you'll be in our hearts, but we'll have learned and we'll be better for it. Because is that not what the family of God is?
100%.
That we know when it is to embrace and we know when it is to refrain. We know when it is to gather. We know when it is to let go. But the story of the mobility piece and the story of a yes, whether it's Moses or Mika and Mel, the story of a yes.
Yeah.
And the joy of what that is to learn from each other's lives. It happens that you actually could administrate and operationally are geniuses. You can prophesy as well, just like Moses could before. I think maybe he told somebody his name was actually Samuel. Didn't seem to matter. But may you be blessed, listeners, in perhaps the peculiarity of Moses and Mika and Mel, and get over yourselves in, is it irresponsible? but learn that there's other ways of saying yes that are not just, I gave $10 more in the offering plate because I felt moved, but a sort of a yes that puts what you have in storage and throws yourself into the mercy of God. Don't all turn up in Glasgow unless God has actually said. That is not the moral of the story. Any final thoughts?
No, I bless you into just doing it. Just do it. Because you have so much more than just being a seat warmer on Sundays.
Woo!
The Lord has something for you. And do you want to participate? He's so gracious that he doesn't need us, but he allows us to participate in the story he has. So we sit here and talk about, oh, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Well, I don't want him to come and find me sitting there doing nothing. Mm-hmm. I want him to come and I'm in the middle of doing something for him. I'm in the middle of being used for him. So just know that you have value, every single one of you. None of you are just to sit on the bench. That's not scripture. Mm-hmm. I encourage you to continuously read your scripture because that's not what the kingdom is about. So just go do something for the Lord, whatever that is.
You say seat warmer. The British say pew fodder.
There you go.
There you go. Mel, final word to you.
The final thing I would say is sit in Matthew where it says when Jesus walked past the disciples and says, come and follow me. Go and follow him in whatever way that he's telling you to do that. And don't do it in a doubt or in a Gideon style, but do it as the disciples did. They instantly got up and they went and they did the thing. Just do it. It really is that. It's like Nike.
just do it.
Yeah.
You're worth it. Now we're on our ridiculous slogans. Okay, What the Prophets Say podcast family, thank you for joining us. I've been Emma Stark. These ladies have not just been the M&Ms. They have been
Micaela Jusosa,
Emelina O'Donnell.
We will see you very soon for another episode. Bye. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.